Murjofsky here, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Let's get right to it. This thing is total hogwash. All right, I'm talking about the media hubbub surrounding the imminent doom and gloom and failure of the Trump presidency. So I wasn't here on Friday, as per usual. If I'm not here, everything falls apart and there's big news. And so what happened is we found out that Michael Flynn pled guilty to a series of false statements made to the FBI. Now, what I do first is when there is something like a charging document, which occurs here, there's an actual plea deal. There are words on a piece of paper that are put out by the special prosecutor, by Bob Mueller's office. They put words on paper and then Flynn signed it. So the actual plea, the actual exact words describing what he did are on paper, and I am absolutely befuddled. I'm not befuddled. I'm not surprised at all, but fake news. It's not even fake news. The willful miscarriage of journalism that is happening, how this plea is being described, blows my mind. It's like nobody has read it. Now they probably have read it, but they don't care what's on the paper, because what they want to run with, what the media wants to describe here, is not reality. Okay, what am I talking about? There are basically two different things that Flynn lied about generally. We'll call them two big lies broken down into a subset of smaller lies. And one lie dealt with his conversation with Ambassador Sisolak, the Russian ambassador who was Flynn's contact. And the other set of lies have to do with him registering as a foreign agent some time ago. No, it actually happened in March of this year, but it related to his work, his private work, lobbying Turkey or doing something with Turkey. And it has nothing to do with Trump. It predates his work on the Trump campaign. And it basically filed an application after the fact to register as a foreign agent. And in that application made some materially false statements. Or so he claims. So that put aside, the first part of the guilty plea relates entirely to a series of contacts that Flynn had with Sisolak. And you'll remember that this is not news, because this was the reason that he got canned from the White House to begin with. Remember, he lost his job because he went to Flynn, or at least so the record went back then. What do we know about this? Flynn went to Pence, and Pence asked him, did you talk to Sisolak about sanctions? And Flynn said to him, no, I didn't. And then Pence found out that he had. And they canned him. And we knew this. This is what the putative explanation was for why Trump let Flynn go. Well, lo and behold, I don't know, however many months later, we have exactly, we're back to square one with an added little, dollop here of some filling out an application, putting some lies on an application that have nothing to do with Trump. And the thing that bothers me about this is this all has to do with contact that Flynn had with Russia during the transition. And it's right here. It's black and white on this piece of paper. I'll read it to you. On or about December 28th. No, I got to back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. On or about January 24th, Flynn agreed to be interviewed. He met with the agents. He did a voluntary interview. And then it talks about December 28th, 2016. Now, when is this? By the way, I have to ask you. The election happened in November. Trump is the president-elect at this point. In fact, he's about 20 days, give or take, away from becoming president. So this guy, the absurdity here, right, is what do you think is happening during the transition? You're getting ready to take over the presidency. You're getting ready to become commander-in-chief. You're getting ready to become the president. So as part of that, December 28th, the Russian ambassador contacted Flynn. Flynn called a senior official of the presidential transition team, which I suspect here, well, from reports, at least it seems to probably Jared Kushner, who was with other senior members of the presidential transition team at the Mar-a-Lago Resort. I love how they throw this in there. And they were all at Mar-a-Lago Resort in Palm Beach, Florida, to discuss what, if anything, to communicate to the Russian ambassador. And then it describes what was communicated. And then it talks, it goes back to the present tense of the interview, and it says that Flynn lied about it. And it's right here, and it's pretty plainly written. Even separated out with nice little headings and subparagraphs. No one took the time to read this. No one took the time to even care about this. And if they had, they would have realized this is absolutely 100% common practice for a president-elect to, as part of the process of assuming the presidency, of getting ready for the presidency, to communicate with foreign entities. This has nothing to do with the election, right? We were led to believe that the whole idea of having a special prosecutor, they're going to look at collusion between the Russians. And what does that mean to you? Let's say perhaps you don't like Mr. Trump. Perhaps you don't like the president. And you suspect the worst. Well, what does collusion mean to you? It's got to mean that it happened before the election, that there was some kind of quid pro quo where the Russians agreed to help Trump in exchange for Trump being their patsy on the inside. That's what collusion means, right? That's the entire construct of this theory that Trump was bought and paid for by Moscow. Well, this does nothing for it. So when people came to me on Friday and said, Sam, oh my goodness, oh yeah, now they got him, now they got the Trumpster, what do you think? And I said, what do you mean, what do I think? What do I think? I think that if they have proof that Flynn did X, Y, and Z, and the only thing they are charging Flynn with is lying about it to the FBI, then that tells me that the underlying charge, the underlying acts, we'll call it, the overt acts that are laid out in the charge aren't themselves criminal. Let me give you an example. FBI says to me, well, let's put it this way. I go and I rob a bank. The FBI interviews me a few days later and says, Sam, did you rob a bank last few days? Ring a bell? And I go, you know what, guys, that really doesn't ring any bells. Now I'm lying about it, but I also robbed the bank. If they can prove I robbed the bank, why? I'll tell you how this works in real life. The FBI doesn't go around charging people for lying to them and denying a crime. They go ahead and prosecute the crime. Mueller has nothing. Doesn't matter if you hate Trump. Doesn't matter if you think that he is just the scumbucket of scumbuckets. I promise you right now, you must get rid of this. I don't know. It's just insanity. This insane obsession, because as far as Flynn goes, there's simply nothing here. You come out as a prosecutor. Charges do not go up. Charges go down. Prosecutors come out of the gate with their biggest and boldest and meanest charges. Most charges statistically end up getting reduced or chopped down as it goes through the process. Charges usually do not grow. And talk to any prosecutor about this. This is very common stuff. You start with your strongest stuff. You do not open with this. You don't open with this if you're serious. So what I see in this, right now is like they got nothing. And moreover, you've got this huge apparatus of investigators, of lawyers, and of support personnel. I mean, but it's millions of dollars this whole thing is costing. And Mueller is desperate to show performance. This is performance is measured in a prosecutor's world by indictments and ultimately by convictions. And this here is a conviction. I mean, it's functionally the equivalent because you have a guilty plea. So there won't be a trial, right? Flynn has accepted, has stipulated that the charges are true, and it does away with the trial. So this, yes, for Mueller, it's a victory in the sense that he's done something. He's got a scalp. But if the purpose behind this was to get at Trump and somehow prove an underlying crime, this is not happening. Have you heard the Logan Act discussed? Oh, the New York Times had a piece. I have it here. I actually put it on the floor. It's like the New York Times, a couple of guys at the New York Times, supposedly legal writers, wrote about the Logan Act and how the president may be in violation of the Logan Act. Let's sort of simply put, the Logan Act prevents private citizens of the United States of lobbying foreign powers and foreign entities in contravention of the official foreign policy position of the United States. You cannot work against the president. Foreign policy comes from the executive branch. And this whole act, by the way, guess how many convictions in the history? This dates back to, you know, the Adams, John Quincy Adams. This has been on the books forever. You want to tell me how many convictions there have been under the Logan Act? Zero. Bagels. And you know why? Because it's probably unconstitutional. Oh, Sam McKay can't be around that long and be unconstitutional. Let me explain how this works. So you have a law, and the only way that a law can be tested and sent up to the Supreme Court is if somebody has been affected by it. There has to be, somebody must have a grievance in order for it to be sent up to the Supreme Court. So it never had a chance to be constitutionally tested. But there's a great piece in Reason.com today. Again, fairly, you know, left-wing libertarian, you know, but not necessarily Trump-loving publication. That's my clarification. And Reason, let's put it as this thing's unconstitutional, up and down, because what it does is it puts a limit on speech. I mean, you right now, as this story is developing, as the media is having a cow that, oh, we got him, we got Trump, because Flynn spoke to the Russian ambassador about foreign relations during the transition 25, 26 days or so before Trump became president. We have Obama. This is the greatest comedy of it all. You know what Obama's doing right now? He's on a world tour. Obama's in China. He met the Dalai Lama. He met President Xi. And he's out there. And what do you think Obama's doing left and right? He's kicking the president in the shins. The absurdity, the hypocrisy of the media and of the establishment left is astounding. Even by, I mean, it's a relatively low standard that they have set for themselves over time. You literally have Obama traveling around the world, kicking Trump in the shins to world leaders. And you've heard some of the quotes. And at the same time, they're talking about the Logan Act and Trump being guilty of it. This stuff is just beyond absurd. So, oh, we're going to get to the ABC. Yeah, Brian Ross stepped in it. Ended up getting, can you believe this? ABC admitted that they're fake news. Yeah, if you missed this on Friday, full on, the president of ABC admitted to it. Well, in so many words, I'll get into that, great clips of it as well. But honestly, I'll tell you, if there's any takeaway here, and I'll give more examples of this. There's nothing here. And all this talk, I saw an article somewhere, Flynn might have worn a wire, and Flynn has turned, he's going to work with Mueller to help Trump. No! I mean, if he's helping, I don't get how he's helping. Where's the quid pro quo? He pled guilty. By the way, there's something very alarming, too, buried in this document. And I want to get to that because it has to do with unmasking. You remember this whole unmasking controversy? Well, you know, the idea that you can't just wiretap a U.S. citizen speaking to a U.S. citizen. But that may have happened, and an evidence of that might actually be in Flynn's plea. I'm going to read that to you. See what you think. All right. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
5, 6, 5, 6, 7. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Happy Monday. Phone number 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. I know we got a couple callers holding. I will get to you after the break. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Well, don't take my word for it here on the Flynn revelations. It's USA Today writes, if Michael Flynn's crime, in quotes, is all Robert Mueller has, it's time to move on. And it talks about the transitions, include the president-elect talking to foreign officials. It's not treason. It's part of the job description. We also have Alan Dershowitz today talking to Harris Faulkner on Fox News. This is what he said about the special counsel being on weak ground. Listen to this.
Too many people are elevating hope over reality, people who want to see the president go down. But this is not a show of strength. If Flynn had very strong material against the president would have pardoned him. The president allowed him to make a deal with the special counsel. And the deal is not a particularly good one for the special counsel because he had to indict him for lying. That makes him a worthless witness. Any criminal defense attorney can destroy him on the witness stand. Just say, this is a guy who's already admitted lying. He's doing this to save his son and himself. Indicting him for lying to the FBI about something that wasn't itself a crime doesn't, to me, show that the prosecution at this point is on very strong ground.
Yeah, they've got a liar. That's what they have. They have an admitted, bona fide liar. Whew. Well, it's a winner. See, you've got to divorce your feelings for Trump from facts. And facts matter. So, okay. Right before the break, I mentioned to you that something inside of the actual document that Flynn signed that is his plea deal, right? In a plea deal, you don't just say, I'm guilty. There's an outline of the facts and the alleged transgressions that you've made. And you're stipulating. What you're saying is basically you're not contesting the facts that are in the document. And it lays out the case against you. And it has to be, the rule is generally, it has to be specific enough for it to be clear that you're aware that you've broken the law. All right, so there it is. And this document, let me see here. It's 5 pages. 6 if you count the signature page. This is not a long document, so it's not a big read. I realize if you're in the mainstream media, this can really take up an afternoon for you. Let me read to you here. Section 3, subparagraph B, it says, on or about December 28, 2016, the Russian ambassador contacted Flynn. Now, how do they know that? The answer is, we already know from previous disclosures that were made to the House Intelligence Committee and the panel investigating this, that they had, the Obama administration, right, had a tap, I don't know, whatever, surveillance, electronic surveillance of Kislyak, the Russian ambassador. And this surveillance was put through one of those FISA courts, you know, flimsy little, you know, just a quick request. But he's a foreign agent. He's not entitled to the same protections as U.S. citizens. And the idea is that, you know, at least the theory that's been propagated is that this does not require the same constitutional scrutiny. So they get one of those easy warrants to go after Sisolak. Sisolak has contact with somebody in the Trump White House or the Trump transition. Subparagraph C. On or about December 29th, Flynn called a senior official of the presidential transition team, PTT official. Now, the language here is so strikingly similar to the paragraph before that it leads me to think that they had this call recorded too. But this is a call between Flynn, okay, and somebody and another U.S. citizen inside a presidential transition. So one opposing president is wiretapping, is spying, literally spying on the incoming opposition president coming in. I want to talk a little bit more about this because it is, if this is true, well, I gotta cut to the news, but it proves a theorem of mine. It proves a theorem that I think I need to explain a little bit. Don't go anywhere. Got the news up next with John Wolfe. Back right after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Murkowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. All right. My theorem. Let me give it to you here. Because with the news that Michael Flynn, Trump's former national security advisor of some 23 or 24 days, had made some false statements to the FBI relating only to contacts with the Russians during the transition period and not before the election, I'm telling you, it's a nothing burger. There's nothing there. It's part of his job description. Speaking of Trump and his team, to go in and start making contacts with everybody. And by the way, crafting his own foreign policy in preparation for him to hit the ground running. Okay. But my theorem is that in their extreme dislike and hatred even of President Trump, people who are normally rational and sane do crazy things. And I'm not just talking about ABC and the media in general going out on limbs, but I actually think that this, when all is said and done, this is going to colossally backfire on Samantha Power, on Hillary Clinton, even on Barack Obama, because these are the guys and gals who were orchestrating this investigation and this narrative from the start. And they were the ones that are using basically spy powers, powers that the Congress shouldn't have, in my opinion, but did grant the executive branch to use against terrorists, were being used here to spy on first a campaign and then subsequently a president-elect who was perhaps, I guess, a bit of a political opponent of the sitting U.S. president at the time, Barack Obama. So, I was reading here, the section here of the plea agreement. On or about December 28th, the Russian ambassador contacted Flynn. Now, they knew that because they were listening in, right? Obama, the Obama DOJ was listening in. And then on or about December 29th, Flynn called a senior official of the presidential transition team. Now, this senior official has been reported to be Jared Kushner. Now, I know that Jared Kushner hasn't spoken yet, didn't speak to the FBI until, I think, a few days ago. I mean, this was reported that he hadn't met with the FBI previous to this deal, this indictment coming down against Flynn. So how do they know about that call? I'm asking. They know about that call because they were listening in. This, and you see, under the guise, see, they're hoping that they're going to find that. They're so convinced in their own lunatic way that they're going to find a smoking gun that sinks Trump. That the ends justify the means. But the dangerous thing is, what if they don't find anything? All we're going to be left with here is a paper trail leading back to actual criminal acts, abuse of our justice powers. This stuff will end up being bigger potentially than this whole nothing burger investigation into Trump Russia. Now, I'm extrapolating this from reading this document. Nobody else has really gone and said this. I think they have such specifics here, and they, by the way, and Flynn must have, he must have been confronted with recordings of these phone calls, basically saying, "Look, you told us that you didn't speak to this guy, but here we have a recording of you talking to him with exact details of the phone call." So they had the recordings. That's why they've got him boxed into a corner. He has no choice but to sign this document and plead guilty. Steve in L.A., hang on. I will get to you, buddy. I'm sorry. I'm running late here with a bunch of stuff I need to get through. But next segment, I will take you. Please hang on. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, talking about the revelations now that are coming forward vis-a-vis Michael Flynn and his plea deal that he's made with Bob Mueller. We have Steve holding in L.A. Steve, thank you so much for holding, and welcome to the program, sir.
Hey there. Sam, what are you doing, man? You're forgetting so many important points and so many important things that have already happened. First of all, I want to say that Barack Obama is in no position to make any political promises or any promises that have anything to do with the United States. It's just simply, feel-good, touchy-feely meetings when he goes overseas. He's not in the position to make any promises. Trump was making promises. He was potentially telling the Soviets that he was going to release some sanctions that were because of human rights violations. He can't do that. He can't.
Yes,
do
he
that.
Can. Actually, well, let me respond really quickly. Hold on. Hold on. Yes, he can. Steve, this is where, hold on, I'm going to have to jump in here because there's limited time. Steve, you are dead wrong. Leon Panetta, by the way, who, Democrat, CIA director, Obama CIA director, he was Clinton White House. Look, he himself said there's nothing materially wrong with what Trump did. When you have an incoming administration, an president-elect coming into the White House, they can begin dealing with foreign entities and foreign powers. Now, did this whole thing, I didn't get into what this was all about. Do you remember what this was? So this had to do with sanctions. Obama was dead set about putting forward sanctions against Russia at all costs. And in the process, spiting Israel with some pretty heavy anti-Israel, some pretty heavy anti-Israel ruling in the U.N., a resolution in the U.N. And all Flynn did was say, hey, let's just calm down here and not punish Israel. And let's just all stick together on Israel and terrorism. And this is all it was. I think what happens here is you hate Trump. You hate him. But if you just flipped Obama and Trump, or Obama and Bush, this kind of stuff. What do you think? I mean, I know, look, I'm going to bring up Reagan, but what do you think Reagan, what happened with Reagan and the Iran-Contra? He was directly, as president-elect, communicating with Iran. But he's the one who's the, he's the incoming president. And we're a country that has this relatively long lame duck period. I want to ask you why. Because if you're wondering about this and you're thinking, well, I don't really know, is Sam right or not or whatever, I want to ask you, why do we have from the beginning of November to almost the end of January a transition period? What was the wisdom in that? The purpose of that time is for the president-elect to get up to speed. Why do you think the president-elect is given daily briefings from the intelligence community? He's seeing the same intel that the president is seeing. Why? For him or her to get up to speed. And part of that is to begin making contact. You start that on day one. You get inaugurated, you know, at the end of January 20th. You just, okay, quick, I got to make some phone calls and talk to some world leaders. And making promises. I mean, of course he's in a position to make promises. He, of course. But he's going to be the president for 4 years. It would be, if the Republicans were trying to do, if this was a cry coming from the Republicans and a Democrat was coming in, this would be equally absurd. And that's why you have cool and calm and collected Democrats who are like Dershowitz and Panetta and others who are looking at this and are saying, this is nothing. It's nothing. All right, Steve, thank you for the phone call. All right, we come back. Yeah, I've got it. We're going to get to Brian Ross. Trust me, this was beautiful on Friday. It was absolutely beautiful what happened. And again, you had an apology straight from the top of ABC News. Do you know why, by the way, you know why all this is happening with ABC? And why, the, you know, well, there's a rush. There's a rush to be the first. I'm going to explain this. When we come back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, sweet James Bergner, the one and only to call in the event that you are injured, hurt, or otherwise disturbed by somebody out on the freeway, let's say on a motorcycle, on a bicycle, in a big rig, whatever the case may be. Now, who you hire as an attorney is critical if you've been hurt. And that's because your attorney can make a difference. You know, some attorneys don't get very much money and some attorneys won't call you back. And some attorneys, you know, frankly, just aren't that great. And the insurance companies don't know who they are. They know who James is. They know who his firm is. And they will respect them when they call on your behalf. And that's really important. So make sure you've got a winner in your corner, and that's James. Great guy, great team, great people there. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. And you can also visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. The case against Trump is, I guess, put together on two bedrocks, although they're not exactly bedrock. They're quicksand. The first one is the Logan Act. I described that. And our caller last segment, Steve, mentioned the president can't deal with anyone until he becomes president, of course, until he's sworn in. And part of the reason for that is because, yes, you can promise something and there's some quid pro quo happening. Interestingly enough, the facts of the Logan Act go back to involve somebody who really couldn't make any promises on behalf of the government. Did you know that? The Logan Act is named for George Logan, and he was trying to intervene in a small little naval skirmish that we had with the French. He tried to get involved, but basically he was a political opponent. And so the opposition drafted this law and passed it in a way to not ever have something as horrible happen as that. It's all it was. He was really not a powerful figure. He had nothing to promise. He wasn't an incoming president or anything like that. No, it was just about settling a political score is what it was about. And that's it. So, Logan Act, on the other hand, the other thing that is being talked about is obstruction of justice. And it all goes back to the go easy on Flynn statement. Remember this? Trump corners Comey, pushes him into the drapes, or gives him one of his bear hug handshakes, or whatever it was, and says, hey, Comey, you got to really go easy on this guy. He's a good guy. He didn't mean to do it. I'm done talking about it. I'm done. When this first was mentioned, and I remember when, so Flynn was fired, and we learned that it was because he had lied about the Sisolak meeting to Pence, and then Pence went out to shill for Flynn, and then Pence ended up with egg on his face and was furious, and Trump was furious, and they canned him. Reasonable result, in my view. Now, we learned at that time that it was this lie, right, that led to a little sniff, sniff, sniff by the FBI and talking to Flynn and talking to him about this lie. And that was what then, back then, with Comey in charge, the FBI was investigating. Well, okay. It was this that Trump said, hey, you know what, let's just go easy on him. Okay. But we've discussed what obstruction of justice is. And I read to you what the line is. It doesn't meet the standard definition for obstruction of justice. And months later, we are in no different place. There's no new facts here. There's nothing here. Okay, I promise. Next segment, right here after the break. Stay tuned. Openings, I'm going to break down what happened on Friday because it's huge. If you think what happened on Friday, ABC News put out a bogus report, had to apologize for it. Name a reporter that you know, that you've heard, ended up getting suspended for 4 weeks. This is big stuff. And it's an important part of the story and how this Flynn debacle is playing out. And I'm just sticking with it. The most important thing here is the facts don't matter to them at all. They're so desperate to get their narrative out. They're willing to sacrifice themselves for it. It's ridiculous. Don't go anywhere. John Wolfe up next with the news.
Can't stop predicting. Talk radio, talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rajofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 8 o'clock hour coming right up. Brian Ross on Friday, in speaking with George Stephanopoulos, got a little ahead of himself. Now, Brian Ross, you'll know, is a longtime investigative reporter for ABC News. Now, I bring this up because I don't know what the term investigative reporter conjures up in your mind. But in mine, it generally means someone who checks the facts. And last hour, I went through this plea deal that's in writing. You know, there's words on a page that can be read by anyone with some basic mastery of the English language, and that this plea deal outlines what Flynn allegedly did. So Brian Ross comes out. Oh, and there's dates in it, right? Dates like December, you know, after the election. And Brian Ross comes out with this on George Stephanopoulos on Friday. Stephanopoulos asks him a question. You'll hear it. And then Ross's reply. Listen very carefully. There's a key word here that caused all hell to break loose.
This certainly would seem to suggest that Michael Flynn had a fair amount of information to offer the special counsel in return.
That's right, George. He has promised full cooperation to the Mueller team. He's prepared to testify, we are told by a confidant, against President Trump, against members of the Trump family, and others in the White House. He is prepared to testify that President Trump, as a candidate, Donald Trump, ordered him, directed him to make contact with the Russians, which contradicts all that Donald Trump has said at this point.
Well, that's big. that in spite of the fact that the actual document outlining Flynn's plea makes no mention of any contact with the Russians before the election, now there's this unnamed source that has come forward and whispered like a little birdie into Ross's ear that candidate Trump had dealings with the Russians and communications with the Russians before the November election. Now, I will tell you, but the response, the gleeful response from the anti-Trumpists was palpable, was epic. Everyone went absolutely bananas, rejoiced over this news. James Clapper, you'll know he was the former director of intelligence in the Obama White House. You see, he's the bald-headed guy that looks very creepy. Could be like a butler in a haunted house somewhere in Minnesota. Let me tell you, this guy is devoted anti-Trumpist and is just delighted by this news. Listen to his response to this breaking development on Friday, speaking with CNN's Jake Tapper.
The overarching implication for me, the first thing that came to mind is that, at least right now, the rule of law does prevail in this country. And that to me is very important. Obviously, huge implications for the White House. It's not a good day. He's not a coffee boy. This is not a hoax. It's not fake. It's real.
The implications for the White House is not good. He, meaning Flynn, is not a coffee boy. He was, for 23, 24 days, was the national security advisor. So, all right. So that was Clapper. Carl Bernstein of Woodward and Bernstein fame weighed in as well. This on Jim Sciutto. Listen to what he says.
And there's one last thing to say. None of this is fake news. We can put away the fake news charge once and for all after today. And let's see where this goes, including being fair to Donald Trump as we cover the story and as we have been.
Ah, let's be fair to Donald Trump. Okay. Words, empty words. But the bottom line, everybody began getting absolutely excited that this was it. The smoking gun. We got him. Red-handed. You know, even The View weighed in. You know those cackly women? You ought to hear Joy Behar, who is, I think, a human hyena. Listen to her response to this development from Brian Ross. Listen.
ABC News' Brian Ross is reporting Michael Flynn promised full cooperation to the Mueller team and is prepared to testify that as a candidate, Donald Trump directed him to make contact with the Russians. Yes!
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and it's beginning to look a lot like collusion.
That's from that idiot Anna Navarro. Oh, my God. How can you watch this? If you I know. There's a lot of women out there and even three men. I heard there's actually three men that watch that show. I understand it. There's some, I guess there's some fun stuff that but I don't understand it at all. Anyway, so you heard the crowd go nuts. And by the way, meanwhile, as they're all clapping, yay, guess what the Dow Jones Industrial Average is? They dropped 300 points like a rock for fear that we have instability, that Trump is now going to be embroiled in investigations and that perhaps his growth agenda will be stalled. Aha! Not so fast. So for all the excitement that this not being fake news, Brian Ross had to quickly, not too quickly, it's about 6 hours later, issue a clarification on ABC with David Muir. This is Friday night, late Friday night, talking about what he had reported on earlier with George Stephanopoulos.
A clarification tonight on something one of Flynn's confidants told us and we reported earlier today. He said the president had asked Flynn to contact Russia during the campaign. He's now clarifying that, saying, according to Flynn, candidate Trump asked him during the campaign to find ways to repair relations with Russia and other hotspots. And then after the election, the president-elect asked him and told him to contact Russia on issues, including working together to fight ISIS.
Well, now this is a really important clarification, is it not? Because if Trump asked him during the campaign to find ways to repair relations with Russia, then it is absolutely 100% in keeping with what Trump, the candidate, had been saying all along on the campaign trail, which is, I don't know that we want to necessarily go to war with Russia. Why not find common ground with them to fight terrorism and other big issues like North Korea, et cetera, around the world? Why pick a fight with Russia? We need an ally in dealing with Iran. And he said this. This was like, this was not, there's no, there's, there's nothing hidden here. This is palms up, straight up stuff. This is what you heard during the debates. The president-elect asked him after the election to contact Russia on other issues, including working together to fight ISIS. I mean, really? They probably could bug Trump's phone and he'd call, you know, if Mother Teresa was alive and Trump had made contact with Mother Teresa, they would find a way to spin this. Now, I'm not calling the Russians Mother Teresa. I'm just saying there is such a desperate effort underway to take anything and everything that Trump does and almost to an extreme, an absurd extreme, make a mountain out of a total molehill. They have to. Well, this was reckless. It was so reckless, in fact, that the ABC president came down and absolutely had a cow. ABC News president James Goldston excoriated staff Monday over Brian Ross's major error on a report about former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, and announced that Ross, the network's chief investigative reporter, will no longer cover stories related to President Trump. He just got banned from all the Woolworths. That's what happened. Can you imagine? One of the things that's driving this, and applying some objectivity to this, one of the things that's driving this, of course, is they all want to be the next Woodward and the next Bernstein. You'll know that Woodward and Bernstein, working together for the Washington Post, broke the story about Nixon. And they became, they have it made in the shade as far as reporters go. And all the libs working for the big papers, I mean, it's Woodward and Bernstein. And that's who they want to become. And so they're all keen to become the next Woodward and Bernstein. The only problem is, Trump's got to be at least as bad as Nixon. And in the years since Nixon, you know, people that have come and gone have made Nixon look like a Boy Scout. So I'm kind of, you've got to find something real here to hang your hat on. This is an opinion show. This show is about my opinion. I'm not promising you to be a, both sides of the argument. I present things the way I do. This is an opinion show. But ABC News, during their news hour, with an investigative reporter, chief investigative reporter, to be basically fabricating and making things up out of thin air, and it's shoddy reporting. It's lazy. But alternatively, it's driven by something that is, I've been talking about for months now, which is the Trump derangement syndrome. This is an affliction that many in the media and many in our political class have completely fallen victim to, which is normal, rational, thinking, sentient people. Well, we may disagree with them. They may have different opinions than us, but they're rational actors on some level, have abandoned all common sense, all rationality when it comes to Trump. They're throwing everything and the kitchen sink at it, and they still cannot come up with anything. But in so doing, they're tying themselves up. You got this guy. I don't know about you. I'm sure he makes good money, but do you really want to be, out of work, unpaid for 4 weeks over the holidays? Does that sound like a fun ride? I don't think that's good. And this, by the way, emboldens the argument that Trump is making that the media is a bunch of fake news, con artists. So if I'm one of, you know, if I'm ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, whomever, and my objective is to have my news be trusted, this is not good. And this is probably why, of course, the ABC president is coming out. But they got caught so red-handed here. What happens when it's a little bit gray instead of black and white? They don't issue apologies. They don't do it. If it's gray, they go for it. And this is why we don't trust the media. This is why our trust with the media is broken. And it's their problem, not ours. And by the way, on a completely other note, in their pursuit to completely derail Trump, I think they're only winning support for him because it's emboldening those people out there that still really like him. And this us versus them, this establishment class, Senate Republicans and some House Republicans and Democrats and the media and New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, NBC, CBS, you get the picture. It's a very powerful group. And them all working together, all sounding a lot alike, does nothing to move the needle out there with those people who voted for the president. It doesn't move the needle. In fact, if anything, it's so revolting that it makes those people want to sit it out and stay firm and stay strong. There's data to back this up. I think the statistic was something north of 60%, the substantial majority of Trump voters all think that the mainstream media is fake news. They just don't believe any of it. Any of it. It's a significant number. No, it's not. What do I think? Personally, it's not all fake news. Of course, they report on car crashes and things like that. All news reporters get things wrong. If you open Breitbart and you look at Breitbart News, there's a bias on there. You've got to know what the bias is. You've got to read it with, you've got to read everything with skepticism. But what do I trust? Far more interesting than any of the articles that I've read over the weekend, news reports that I've seen or anything, is it comes back to me for whatever primary source document I can find. So the indictment on Flynn, Michael Flynn indictment, what is written on paper? If Mueller submitted something on paper to the judge, I'm not saying that means it's gospel truth, by the way, because indictments are not, it's not facts. It's facts that are intended to be proven. Yeah. No, he stipulated to the facts there. He pled guilty. Yes, but an indictment is not factual. But still, prosecutors have a duty, have an ethical obligation not to make wild stuff up. Right? Think Duke lacrosse case. So I'm looking at this indictment. More important than any unnamed sources. More important than any statements that are made by Bob Mueller. More important than anything is said in the media is what was put on the paper, and what was put on the paper contradicts 99% of what I'm hearing out there. So that's what I got. I go by what I see on paper and. Just telling you, that's why you tune into this program, because we do stay focused on the facts. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. An FBI agent was removed from the Mueller probe over anti-Trump texts. And this, by the way, my reaction in seeing the story is, really? Just one anti-Trump FBI agent? Just one? I mean, every one of these lawyers, for example, that is working for Mueller on the Trump-Russia investigation, every one of them almost has given money, significant amount of money to Democrats, to Hillary Clinton, to Obama. These are all Democrats. These are all anti-Trump people. It's a total witch hunt. Let us think about it this way. assume that you are on trial. No, you are being investigated for some crime that you supposedly committed. And you know who is investigating you? Every single cop and district attorney that's investigating you are best friends with your ex-wife. Oh, yeah, and it was one hell of a nasty divorce. Hey, I'm going to ask the question. Would you complain? Would you kind of raise your hand and say, you know, I don't think this is particularly objective. These people are out to skin me alive. Yeah. And by the way, in any normal situation, well, there'd be an affirmative duty, I think, for these guys, if this was happening, this example I gave you, with that type of a personal bias, for people to recuse themselves from an investigation. It doesn't always happen. Things like this do happen, of course, do transpire. There is prosecutorial bias. But I don't understand. I'm actually kind of, when I step back from this entire thing, I think to myself, what kind of a crazy land world are we living in? So Flynn lies to the FBI about stuff that's not illegal. I mean, he may have thought in the moment that it was illegal, but it's not. When you read the indictment, when you read the plea deal, there's nothing in there that in and of itself is illegal. And so by the way, when you talk about obstruction of justice, what justice are we talking about? Because Flynn, what Flynn ultimately testifies to, what he knows, there's no crime that touches Trump. Right? Because if everything that he says is absolutely 100% true, any reasonable attorney that has looked at this says, yeah, there's nothing here. And this is the most important part. So what type of investigation is Trump obstructing? I guess he's obstructing the investigation into lying. So really, Trump stuck his neck out there, his entire presidential neck out there for Michael Flynn. Said Comey, hey, you know, go easy on him. It's not a promise of a reward. It's not a promise of anything to impede an actual ongoing. It's just they're very specific language to the obstruction charge. But all of this is interesting because you listen to this. In speaking about this was great. Chuck Todd on MSNBC panel Daniel Pletka, the American Enterprise Institute, is talking exactly about this FBI agent revelation. Listen to this.
Horrible 48 hours for the president with this investigation, but he was handed one helpful PR moment here. Let me throw up these headlines. An FBI agent was just removed from Bob Mueller's team for anti-Trump texts. Now, when you read the details of this, Danielle, I have to say, part of me thought, wait a minute, are we bordering into thought police territory, number one, but we can set that aside here. But it does give the president a PR tool here and is to at least throw to his supporters saying, aha, bias in the Mueller program.
Right, and he just tweeted about it this morning.
Shocking.
I know, shocking.
The condescension of these people is astounding. It's actually sick. And it should make you angry because let me tell you, you do not want your guy, next time your guy's elected, your president that you love, not Trump, but some other guy, you would not want him destroyed this way. And if it were conservative journalists doing this type of a job on him, you would not like that. And that's precisely why calm heads must prevail here. I'll talk a few more reactions to that clip. It's really upsetting when you parse it out. I'll get to it next segment after the break, after the news, with John Wolfe. Don't go anywhere.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's calling?
You're calling this number, 800-222-5222.
Friends, amigos, compatriots, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC, 800-222-5222 is the number if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is my email. Hey, this is a public health alert. Do you have kids? Do they go to school? Have they been puking? Let me tell you, there's something going on out there, and I'm on victim number two. Victim number one was my middle daughter, who we all went out to dinner on Saturday night. This is classic. If you know me, a little bit about me. I am a fastidious person. I'm a neat freak. I am a little bit, as they would say, retentive. And I love cars. Okay, I'm a car guy. And I keep my cars immaculate. And probably most of my marital discord comes from my wife not taking care of her car. And so when she got her newest car about a year and a half ago now, she got her dream car, the car she always wanted. And it's a beautiful car, and it's clean, and it's nice. It was nice. Okay, I think you know where I'm going with this. All right, so, Vera, I love you. You're the apple of my eye. But next time your stomach is sick, tell somebody. And don't go to dinner and eat dessert. By dessert, I mean a whole bowl of vanilla ice cream. With all the toppings, might I add. Oh, and where did we go to dinner? Oh, we went for sushi. So she's eating fish. On the way home, Vera had an incident. And I spent the next 3 hours of my life cleaning what was almost an unspeakable crime scene out of my wife's car. So I'm just letting you know, if your kids are in school, if you just get ready for it. If your kid says, you know, Mom, Dad, I got a little bit of a stomach ache, do not let them in your car. Just do. I'm not posting the picture. No. It's disgusting. But yes, I took a picture and I'm showing it at her wedding. That is what I'm going to do. All right. ABC News is dead serious about making things right after Brian Ross's embarrassing Flynn error. And by the way, guffaw. Do you really think it was an error? This is the part. This is a deliberate effort to drive the dialogue in a particular direction. They have a preconceived notion of what they want to do, and that is where they're driving the narrative. And they're hoping, they're praying. They've got one of those, you know, little candle set up altars, you know, with the picture of Trump with horns and a bifurcated tail. And they're hoping and praying that the facts line up to support their narrative. And it's not happening. So anyway, ABC News had to suspend Brian Ross. Very embarrassing. He's been permanently banned from all reporting on Donald J. Trump. But don't worry. ABC News is so committed, in fact, to getting the story right, even if they're not first, that they're prepping a talk show for Alec Baldwin on the network. Alec freaking Baldwin. This is news on the same day. This is Alec Baldwin. This is being reported. Oh, who's reporting this? Who's reporting the story? Is this CNN? You didn't print the headers on this, Robbie. Oh, Hollywood Reporter. Okay. Alec Baldwin is expanding his relationship with ABC. It's the working title of the show is Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin. Now, Alec Baldwin, when he was very active on Twitter, I think he's off of Twitter now. Didn't he get off of Twitter? Is he on some kind of hiatus? But at any rate, Alec Baldwin made Trump look like a not social media type with his Twitter use. Alec Baldwin's got a bit of a temper. And certainly a devoted liberal and anti-Trump guy. So look, this is what you expect from the networks. They bring in people like Baldwin. They have Brian Ross. They've got all these guys, committed left-wing nuts. And then they go, no, but we're objective. We are the real news. We are the legit thing. Give me a break. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Berjofsky here for my friend, my lawyer, attorney Sweet James Bergener. This is the guy you need to call if you get into an accident, have a dog bite you, maybe have, you know, get trampled by an elephant, whatever it is, whatever injury befalls you, you might want to call somebody, get an opinion, and make sure that somebody is James or somebody on his team. He's got a great office, great people. You know, it's not just about the one lawyer. It's about everybody that's behind him making a difference in their clients' cases. The phone number, it's so easy to remember, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. This is the number to call. No recovery, no fee. All consultations are free. So there's nothing to lose. Give them a call, figure out what needs to happen, and you'll know what to do. 800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So while the world was, I don't know, crapping a brick over Mike Flynn's admissions that he lied to the FBI, whoop-de-doo, the Senate passed the tax bill. Well, now it goes into committee, right? It'll go into committee. They've got to put the House bill and the Senate bill together. It's called reconciliation. They'll go through everything. But as of right now, I must warn you that the so-called SALT deductions, the state and local tax deductions that are so beneficial for those of us in high tax states, California, are gone. The only thing left is a max $10,000 mortgage interest deduction, which in California, it depends on where you live, but that's like a $700, maybe $800, $900,000 house. Nothing. So I have a question for you. I know this is going to hurt. By the way, so I don't know yet, but just so you know, I think I do quite well, and I think my taxes are going up. So for all of you screaming out there that the rich are, you know, are making away like bandits, and I'm getting soaked. So I just want to put that out there. So thanks, Trump, for that. But I need to step outside of myself here and outside of my own self-interest and look at what the SALT deduction actually means, because what it is a federal subsidy for states' stupidity. Right? California, New York, and other high tax states, New Jersey and so forth, are dumb. Okay? We spend money on stuff we shouldn't. If you don't agree with me, we've got some portions of a high speed rail out there in the middle of California. Just one great example. I mean, just we are a mismanaged state. It's a rich state. Only because we are in a place that people want to live in. And we've got Silicon Valley and busy cities. In spite of the government's best efforts to kill any form of enterprise here. I wonder what will happen. And I've been giving this a lot of thought. And we'll continue talking about this here as this plan gets finalized. And we know what the final law will look like. But I wonder what kind of backlash will happen here. Unfortunately, people are too stupid. The backlash in California and New York is going to be against Trump and the Republicans. But what all the people that are going to be complaining about this need to look at is look at your own state. Look at what's going on in California. Look at what's going on in New York and other places where these states are taxing you to death. And now it's going to hurt more. Because the people in Ohio and Florida and Nevada are no longer going to be subsidizing your state's mismanagement. In Texas, they don't build a road until it's fully funded. That's how fiscally conservative Texas is. And they will also electrocute you for jaywalking. So, you know, there's that too. But I think a great argument can be made for lowering corporate taxes, attracting businesses, international companies, repatriating assets abroad at the expense of eliminating the SALT deductions And if you look at it the other way around, why would you subsidize California and New York at the expense of a corporate tax rate, at the expense of growing and building our business environment here in this country? I think this is a wise decision in the end, although it will hurt me tremendously. All right, Sam Rozhovsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
Talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Rozhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I just meant to send a funny picture to producer Robbie and instead sent it to one of my wife's friends, and now I'm embarrassed. Robbie, I'm sending it to you right now. That was what I intended to send you, and I just and I sent it with this caption. Hold on. With this. There. Now, tell me how embarrassing that is. Yeah. Okay, he's laughing. Oh, this is a Met opera. Have you heard about this? Another sex abuse scandal. James Levine from the Metropolitan Opera. Conductor sex abuse scandal rocks already struggling Met Opera. You ought to see this guy. He looks like Mr. Potato Head with a Jufro on his head. He's just like this really frizzy hair. And then it says, so I'm like this guy, and I made a comment. Anyway. You know who's also gone off the deep end? Nancy Pelosi. Full on off the deep end. So what happens with this tax bill I was talking to you about? The Senate passed it on over the weekend. They passed it. Now it goes, the House has to vote on opening a process called reconciliation. It has to go to a committee for reconciliation. And they voted on that late tonight or earlier this evening, East Coast time. And after that vote, Nancy Pelosi went full berserk. And here is her talking about what's going to happen.
Isn't really what's going on is that many people are getting a very modest tax cut and some people are getting a tax increase while a lot of this is also going to business, but it's not the end of the world?
No, it is the end of the world. This health care, the debate on health care is life-death. This is Armageddon. This is a very big deal because you know why? There's really a very hard way to come back from this. They throw a few crumbs to the middle class, but they give with one hand, they take away in bounty with the other. And why? Because it is in their DNA to give tax cuts to the rich. That's their purpose in coming to Congress.
Okay. There's no specifics. There's no anything. It's just hyperbole and nastiness. And like I was explaining, I know a lot of wealthy people that are getting stung by this, okay? I mean, if you make real money, I'm telling you, this bill is not good, okay? It'll favor, yes, you're right, it'll lower corporate tax rate. But remember, this is corporate tax rate. All the people that are paid by that corporation still pay an individual rate. And they're losing their SALT deductions. So for people, the bigwigs in New York, where you have not only state income taxes, but city income taxes, I mean, they're getting hit by this. So I'm telling you, the funniest thing about what she says here is about Republicans. It's in their DNA to give tax cuts to the rich. That's their purpose in Congress. And this is the it's in the Democrats' DNA to use class baiting to get votes, to use jealousy. This is no different than Bolshevik propaganda, you know, the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, what my parents grew up with, is the rich are evil, the rich are terrible. Yeah, don't help them. Just soak the rich. I want a country where we celebrate wealth, where we show a little bit of respect for it, because the rich have to, the rich are the ones growing the businesses. They're the rich are the ones providing the jobs. The rich are the ones growing the economy, spending money, hiring people. And all Nancy Pelosi can do is about, oh, those Republicans, those evil Republicans, they hate the rich. They hate the rich. Such total drivel. All right. We're off tomorrow. Go Kings go. The Kings are on, so we will not be here behind the Sam Nation microphone. But don't fret. back on Wednesday, 7 p.m. We will be in the House talking about whatever transpires. And mark my words, tomorrow's going to be a huge news day. Something's going to happen because I'm not here. All right. Have a great night. Great to be with you, as always. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, over and out.